Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents by parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. Now, regular listeners of the show know that we've been doing some serious stuff on this show. Divorce, stress, parenting teenagers. So I thought it's about time to take a break and do something fun for a change. And if there's something really, really fun, then that's dance. You know, if there's one thing that we Desis can be proud of contributing to America, it is dance. From Bharatanatyam to Bollywood, our colorful, vibrant styles have won over everyone in this country. In fact, there are times when I feel more girls learn classical dance here in Silicon Valley than back in India. And we've even started seeing Bollywood dance troupes on mainstream television. If you've been wondering if dance is right for your child, or if your kid has been showing an interest in dance and you want to learn more about it, then today's show is for you. Here to talk about how dance is meaningful for kids are two people who represent two styles of dance, classical and popular. Lakshmi Shaiju is an IT professional who's also an accomplished Bharatanatyam dancer. She's taught dance and continues to perform, and she's been a judge for the India Community Center's annual Youth Sabha Dance Contest, as well as the MC for the show. Ishika Seth is one of the main dancers for the Mona Khan Dance Company. Welcome, Lakshmi, and welcome, Ishika.
Thank you, Vidya.
You know, the Bay Area is such a phenomenal incubator of dance. I think, as I said in my introduction, I feel like there are more kids learning dance here than probably any metro area in India, where probably the focus is more outward and more Western. But here, the kids are learning classical dance, kids are learning Bollywood, and kids are learning folk. So what makes this place so uniquely suited to that?
I think one of the key things is, I mean, Iberia itself has a large Indian community, and in Indian dancers in general have had such a wide appreciation all around the world. It's not just in Iberia. So, you know, I mean, renowned dancers all around the world, just with their performances, it's so well heard of that even in the Iberia, with so many experienced dance teachers, dance companies like Mona Khan, I mean, we have plenty of Bharatanatyam dance teachers in South Bay. It's definitely established and brought back that authentic, dance culture and teaching to the students here. And definitely it's within the Indian community. It's within our hearts to, you know, learn something so ethnic.
Well, is it? Yeah. And I think maybe because we are away from home, it feels like this is a little bit of holding on to our culture,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Ishika, what's your opinion about the Bollywood aspect of it?
I think Bollywood really represents like the pop culture of India. So while classical is a sort of going back to the roots and sort of reclaiming our traditions, mm-hmm. Bollywood is really about popular culture, which is happening in India right now. And I feel like why a lot of young people especially can relate to it is because it lends itself to various interpretations. Mm-hmm. So it's truly global in that sense that
Absolutely.
You can combine a lot of elements of like hip-hop, jazz, contemporary. That's something which we do a lot with Mona Khan Companies, sort of this blend of the East and the West, mm-hmm. which makes it really, really exciting.
Yeah, I think it becomes very relevant. You can make it as relevant as you want to, I suppose.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. Is classical more popular or Bollywood more popular?
I wouldn't like to say one is popular than the other, mm-hmm. Because both art forms, they're essentially art forms which need to be taken in and appreciated in its own sense. Bharatanatyam, it's a very strict form of art in the sense that there are certain rules and basics that have been established throughout the years, mm-hmm. and there's an essence of spirituality within that dance as well. Mm-hmm. Bollywood as well, I mean, it's like Ishika just mentioned, I mean, it's incorporated from jazz, hip-hop. There are so many different forms that have been kind of combined into one art form. Mm-hmm. I think they're both popular. It just depends on what you like, what the parents like, what kind of background you come from. What does your mind feel like doing? That's all there is. And I think we've got an equal amount of South Indian classical dancers mm-hmm. as well as Bollywood. And there are even students who do both, which is totally fine. I mean,
Go ahead.
Yeah, a lot of our students do that. A lot of our students actually do study, you know, some classical form or the other, and we do encourage that because it is giving you like a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they do love coming and doing Bollywood and having fun.
So that's
fun
a fun part, and that's a discipline part. I mean, I'm sure you can have fun with classical music.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah. It's both art forms. I think, you know, you get to kind of create. right? Both in classical as well as Bollywood. There's a lot of creativity. You can do whatever you want with it. As long as you get the foundation,
right.
You could that shows that you can do Bollywood.
And I think there is a balance even in Bollywood of the fun aspect, and there is a lot of technique which goes in. So it's not about just coming and doing a few thumkas. There really is a lot of focus on your alignment, strength, and learning the basis of different techniques. And we do incorporate a little bit of classical, folk, hip hop. So you can't, it's like a nice mixture of the two. Same as
so
classical.
Does getting a classical background actually benefit you when you're trying something else out, improvisational? If you're like Bollywood, does it help to have a foundation?
I think a rigorous foundation in any dance form is really useful, whether it's classical or something else. Yes, it does help because you have a lot of understanding of your body. So once you have that, then it's easier to branch out in different things. So yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's a discipline.
Right.
So it's a discipline.
So does Bollywood dance, does Bollywood dance actually have a codified set of rules?
So it doesn't have a codified set of rules like Bharatanatyam does, but I know in our company, of course, like what Mona's style is, we do have a certain pattern which we follow. So I'm sure it varies from company to company, but there are certain elements which are very much Bollywood, like the thumka and bhangra hands and things like that.
Okay.
So because
you have names for the movements and the names for the gestures.
Yeah, there are some movements because they come from classical and folk, so those have names in themselves. Same with, the movements which you do borrow from the Western dance forms. They all do have names. But, it's not like a strict codified form like Bharatanatyam. But at the same time, there are certain rules and guidelines. You know, you do go in the downbeat. And there are certain things which we...
Give me an example.
So there's a kickball change, which is when you kick your leg out, step, and step out. It's a step which comes from hip-hop, but it's a very popular step in Bollywood. And then, of course, you have your thumkas and the dip step, which is a very popular folk step, which you use in almost every folk dance, and where you transfer your weight to one leg and your other leg comes up.
That's very interesting. That's exactly one of the basics you teach in Bharatanatyam
is
as well.
Is that right? What do you call it?
I mean, the adavs, when you begin the adavs, actually, the way the form of your postures when you sit down, and the same factor, when you lift one leg and when you stamp the other. Okay, so how is that? You adjust so that your upper body is not moving a lot.
Right.
It's only your feet.
Right.
So it's very similar. Yeah.
So there's some. I can see there's some basic principles.
Yes, definitely.
To this, and I had asked you, and I want to share that you to share with me. What do you think? How do you think dance really helps kids? And listeners, we're going to actually be talking to two young dancers later on in the show, and we'll get their views as well. But here I want to get the views of the teachers.
So there are two aspects. One is, of course, the physical aspect, and it's a great form of fitness. And, channelizing your energy into something creative and positive. I feel a lot of kids these days are really stuck on different forms of media. They're on their iPads, on the computer, playing video games. So it's a great way of keeping your body active and moving away from all that. And it's just a lot of fun. So it's not like going to the gym. They actually look forward to it.
I said earlier on about the discipline. It's like you learn at school, science, math. This is also a form of science. There's an element of science in that the way you use your body to actually express emotions.
So would you say it's another language that your child is learning?
It definitely is because dance is a form of expressing without actually talking. It's through your body.
Right.
So.
It's a beautiful way of looking at it.
It's amazing. I mean, and in Bharatanatyam, there are so many principles. There are spiritual values that you even gather out of it. I mean, you learn about the origination of Bharatanatyam. There's the, when I say spiritual, there are stories that are talked through dance, which talk about the Hindu gods and goddesses. And lately, it even actually, there are switches where you connect them to the what's happening in real life today.
So I've heard of that you have these dance dramas which are very contemporary, which take on contemporary issues, and then you act them out through the
dance.
So it's a form of
expressing what you want the audience to know. It's a story you're telling them. It's a message at the end that this is what is actually happening in the real world, and this is how we want to move forward.
So you're using the structure and the discipline of dance to actually impart a message, to communicate.
Yes.
As you said, it's another language. You're using using it as a medium of communication. I think that's a beautiful way. Does Bollywood operate in the similar way, or is it more song and dance and fun related?
I think we do a lot in Mona Khan Company, which is both. So, of course, we have our popular Bollywood numbers, which are just more fun, masala, mm-hmm. you know, getting everybody on their feet.
The Kola Veri D's.
Yeah, of course. And you know, everyone loves that. But then we also, in our last show, we did do a piece which was based on friendships and the importance that, you know, friendships bring to your life. And to have the teenagers in our company do that, it was great. And they spoke about their experiences, and we sort of choreographed the piece based on that.
So that's lovely. That means, you know, I do know that I've been following, I enjoy Bollywood dance, so I've been following some of the shows that all your professional companies put up. And in the beginning, it was more, you were doing more spoofs of Bollywood, sort of still having that link to India. But I feel that maybe you've progressed a little bit beyond that now.
Definitely. It's evolved a lot. And I think, especially with the coming in of contemporary and other things like that, like even if you watch what's happening in India today, it's Bollywood has gone to that other side, which is also a lot more meaningful. So mm-hmm. It's not just about, I mean, of course, entertainment is a huge, huge part of it. But then there's also this other side where you can use it as a medium to convey a message to the audience and also to the people who are participating in it.
That's fabulous. I remember going to see the Bollywood Berkeley, and certainly there is an element of, I think that is still in some ways the message is still in the infancy, because they're still doing more popular stories of love and loss, and you know, so they haven't really gone to the point where they can use Bollywood as a medium for more meaningful communication. But at least there were stories being told. It was not just dance.
Yeah, and I think the rules of that competition are that they have to do a love story in some form or the other.
Oh, I see.
So that does restrict them in a certain way. Yes, but yeah, I mean, those kids are really talented, and it's amazing to just see them blossom into amazing performers.
I know. It was an absolutely amazing experience to be in the audience and watch those. So we're going to take another quick break, a song break, some more dance songs. And when we come back, we'll talk some more to Lakshmi and Ishika. And later on in the show, we'll be talking to two young dancers who've been participating in these competitions for a while, and figure out how they balance school and dance. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host Vidya, and I'm sitting here with two accomplished dancers to talk about what dance can do for our kids. We have Lakshmi and Ishika here. And before the break, we talked a little bit about why dance is important and what kids get out of it. Ishika, you had something more to add to that? Please go ahead.
Yeah, so we were talking more about the fitness aspect and the physical aspect of it. And I know Lakshmi did talk a little bit about dance as a science, but there's also this whole other angle about what they get within the studio or dancing on stage, which translates to life outside the studio as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think kids do develop a lot of confidence, self-esteem, and, you know, they make friends. So there's this whole social aspect, and they learn how to, like, you know, team building and things like that, working together in a group, but then also finding your own individuality. So I think there are all these other elements besides the physical aspect, which also happen. There's this whole thing of the mind-body connection, which is really mm-hmm. true to dancing, and discovering that is also a great part of it.
Absolutely.
I completely agree on the confidence, because I've had students in the past when I asked them to do a particular abhinaya in the Bharatanatyam form. How I typically teach that is I say, okay, let's say hasya.
Mm-hmm.
Which is laughter. How would you do it? And when it comes to dance, they're somehow very reluctant. They don't know. Oh, I don't know. I said, how would you laugh if somebody told you a joke?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's being able to express that in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to essentially not have the voice come out, but express it through your emotions, through your abhinayas.
Mm-hmm.
So those aspects, I mean, that really builds confidence in standing on stage and doing it in front of so many different people.
Absolutely.
And healthy competition. As long as it's healthy, that's another aspect to it as well. I mean, there are so many opportunities for kids out there to compete,
mm-hmm.
to go as teams and solo as well. And as long as it's healthy, that's great too. And that's something that I've often seen with a lot of these competitions that happen. I see that kind of
camaraderie
and yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that really gets them into learning more.
Right. Now, parents, I think we've been covering so many topics of extracurricular activities that kids can do. Parents do have sort of a really wide variety of choices when it comes to, you know, what their kids can do after school and a limited amount of time. So really, you're competing as an activity with many, many other things that the kids could be doing, including some very academic stuff, but also sports related stuff. So why would a parent be interested in putting their child in dance, and what should be the motivation for them to do that?
So to begin with, I am a very strong, I think it's important. Any child, if you put your child towards any kind of extracurricular activities, it is very important to understand, does that child have the talent to do it?
Okay.
Does the child have the interest to do it? Once you've gone past that phase to at least, at the very basic, analyze that, mm-hmm. then why not dance? It's again, like Ishika mentioned, it builds stamina, it builds flexibility, it builds confidence, it builds, it teaches something about our culture, mm-hmm. Through these art forms. Mm-hmm. So why not dance?
No, that's true. But it's a question of commitment. Typically start in these activities when they're fairly young. At that point, I don't know if a child is able to communicate to the parent the interest, and whether the parent is able to gauge in the child the talent. You know, so at that point, you know, how do parents say, oh, this is something that I think is important and we should be doing it?
So again, I don't agree with children starting dance, particularly at a very young age. I mean, perhaps my thinking to that is at about 5-6 is about the age where you are able to communicate to your child. The child is able to communicate to you as well. Okay, do I like this? Am I interested in this? Mm-hmm. Is this something that I can do? And then at that stage, it is important. Okay, introduce your child to something. If you see that the child is really not keen on this, the child is not into it, don't pressurize it anymore, mm-hmm. because then it becomes, okay, this is a thing I have to do every weekend. Mm-hmm. Let it not be that, because enjoy dance. Learn it for what it's worth.
And Ishika, what are your thoughts?
I actually, I wish I could have started dancing the day I was born. So, I feel like, you know, I mean.
When did you start dance?
Pretty late, actually. So I was dancing, I was cultural shows and things like that, in school and things. But really seriously, when I started training, I was already 21.
Wow. Okay. And you've really made a name for yourself really quickly, because, the typical thought in, I think as a parent, I feel that if you have not introduce the child to the dance form by age 10, it's too late. But
never.
Proof that that's not the case.
It's never too late, but yeah, it is. It's great when you already have your flexibility developed when you're 18. I see a lot of the kids in our company now, and it's amazing. They're so fabulous, and I'm like, wow, I can't even imagine what you guys will be when you grow up. And it's definitely an advantage to start when you're young, but at the same time, it's never too late.
It's never too late. For Bharatnatyam, which is much more disciplined and organized, is there a too late age?
I don't think so. No, I mean, there's never a too late age. As long as your body tells, don't stop, go, mm-hmm. go with it. I think you can always create, you can always perform. But yes, starting way too young, it's very difficult. Again, there are so many, there's a lot of literature within Bharatnatyam, at least, that you need to communicate and make the children understand. And at ages of 3, you probably can. It depends, again, on the talent of the child and how much the child is able to grasp. But a little later is also fine.
It's also fine.
You don't have to push the child at the age of 3.
So you're saying there is a body of knowledge behind the
Absolutely.
Dance that the child should be able to grasp to be able to do justice to it. It's not enough to be just do the movements. That's not enough.
It's like, again, these are individual opinions about things, and how I see it is whatever you're learning, learn it, understanding, the origins of it, why you're learning it, and where did, how is it all coming together, rather than, I've got an hour every Saturday. Yes, I've got to put my child into something. Yeah, let's do this.
But Bollywood, I think, it's such a pervasive thing that people teach all over the place, and they'll start it in their garages. The parents have really sort of spoiled for choice. So at that point, how does the parent make the decision where? And, is it something that it's okay if they just meet their friends and learn from, just somebody who's doing it as a lark? Or is it important to find the right people to teach your child?
I think it's definitely important to find the right people, and quality is, it's so important. And I think it's really sad that, there are a lot of people, I mean, not to put anyone down, but there is a lot of the people who don't really have the qualifications, and it's just questionable, like, starting something randomly without any background. And I don't know how much value that has. That's the same thing like putting on a television and, you know, copying Madhuri. It's the same thing that you're doing, really.
But, and it's unfortunate. It's
because, I mean, there is a certain amount of knowledge. There is your alignment, your strength, where the movement is stemming from. You have to have an understanding of that. And that's why even within, and that's one of the things which I think is really amazing about Mona, is that she's actually worked in Bollywood. So she's performed there. She's choreographed within Bollywood with people like Farah Khan and things like that. So she has that very direct connection to Bollywood. And it's very different. I mean, a lot of the people in the company, they all are trained in different forms. So if I'm using contemporary dance in my class, it's because I'm trained in that. It's not something which I'm just putting on the television and
copying the movements. But you know, Bharatanatyam, like other classical dances, there is a progression, right? You start at this point, and I'm sure there's a, it's like a, any other proper curriculum, where you end with the Arangetram. At least that's a graduation of sorts. So you're starting from somewhere and you're progressing, and then you're ending somewhere. Is that the same case with popular dance?
Well, in our company, we have sort of created this progression. So the kids start at a basic level, then they go on to intermediate, then advanced, then master. And then you do have the option of auditioning for the emerging performers, who are sort of the kids who, for whom dance has become more than a hobby. They may not end up becoming professional dancers, but at this point they do see it as something more serious and something they want to spend a lot more time and energy on, and a lot of them may end up, you know, dancing professionally. So that's the next step, and then of course joining the Mona Khan company. So there is a clear progression in terms of the class levels and the skills.
And you, both of you, I'm sensing, advocate the fact that go to somebody who has a structure in place.
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely.
It is really important.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't just do it as a lark. Why not? I mean, it's fun. Why not do it for fun? Maybe their aim is to just get some exercise out of it.
I don't agree to that at all, because if it's just exercise, then take the bike and have the child bike down the road. Take yoga classes or something of that sort, basketball, something like that. But dance, there is, give respect to the people who actually created it. We have renowned dancers from back in the years who've built that structure, who've spent hours and hours researching and bringing different forms together to produce, be it Bharatanatyam, be it Kuchipudi, be it Kathak. Respect that. And learn it only if you're serious about it. Just for fun. Yeah, like I said, you could be...
Would you feel the same way about Bollywood dance?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not the same in terms of it's not so codified. It hasn't been developed by people like, you know, thousands of years ago, like classical forms. But I do agree that dance is an art form. And it shouldn't be treated as a mere form of exercise. I think exercise is an important part of it, but it's not the only thing. At the same time, I don't know, when the kids are that young, because we do have a class called Bachcha Party class, which is for, you know, ages 3 to 5. So at that point, for them to have that understanding, I don't know if that's possible. Like, you know, they're really young to sort of understand that whole, you know, deeper meaning of dance. So, you know, at that age, there are kids who just enjoy moving, and I think movement for its own sake at that point is okay.
Is okay. But it suggests to me that there is going to be, if the parents are planning to put their kids into dance and the child likes it, or assuming that, you know, the fit is there between the child and the teacher and the dance form, what kind of time commitment are we looking at?
It varies. For Bharatanatyam, at least, back in my days, we used to have an hour and a half classes twice weekly. Okay. I think these days the common thing seen is once every week for an hour.
But the home, are the child expected to practice at home?
At home, absolutely. Yeah, it's like again, you know, you do your homework. So it's homework that you bring back, and you need to practice at it. Practice is absolutely essential. But that's good, because rather than, like Ishika said, iPads and, you know, iPhones and things, unless and until, you know, they're having a community, kids can go out and play, why not do something physical at home?
Absolutely. And Ishika, is it the same kind of commitment for Bollywood dance as well?
Yes, for the students who just joined the company who are in our regular student program, yes, that's about the commitment they have, and they are expected to rehearse
practice
outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you can easily see the difference. I always tell my students, when you come back to the studio, I can point out and just point and be like, okay, you practiced and you didn't. It's so easy to just tell.
Right.
But when they get into this emerging performance stage where they're actually trying to be more serious about it, then the commitment definitely, there's a jump in the commitment. It's at least 3 hours a week, and then some of them are in the studio for 5 hours. Depending on shows, it could be 8 hours. So it, but it's very much based on their own choice, how much time they want to put into it.
And I think it's a good time to take a break. And after the break, we're going to talk to two girls who are dancers who have been participating in these competitions. And we'll talk to them about what their commitment is and how they are managing to balance their work, school work, with their commitment to dance and what they get out of it. Welcome back to Parent Talk with your host, Vidya. Before we went on break, we were talking about what kids get out of dance. And in this segment, we're going to be talking a little bit about, we were talking to two girls who are dancers, and they're going to share the experience with us. But before that, we have a caller on the line. This is Prabha, whose son is a very keen dancer with the Mona Khan Dance Company, and she has a point to make. Go ahead, Prabha.
Yeah, hi. My point was that as parents, we have a lot of aspirations for our kids, and we tend to think that whatever we enjoy, they should be enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I felt was parents need to understand that if the child has the ability or the interest or the passion mm-hmm. for something, I think as a parent, it's my responsibility to develop that. Okay.
When
at the same time, mm-hmm. if the child shows any inclination that they are not interested, because I've heard a lot of my friends who tell me, I love to dance, but my kid doesn't have it, so I'm still going to try out putting them in dance classes to see if that comes out.
I think many of us, Prabha, have missed out on those opportunities as kids, and maybe we're trying to get that experience by proxy.
Inculcate that into their child, or they didn't have an opportunity to learn to dance when they were younger, and they tend to kind of try to live that out through their children,
Yeah.
And I see in our community, I've noticed a lot of that, and I think it's so unfair to the child.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's something the parents should be very careful about. I think it's a great idea to have your kids try out everything, but at the same time, if you sense that their heart is really not in it, then it's not something we should be pushing.
Yes,
I think that's true about any activity, and certainly something about
certainly
dance.
Especially dance and stuff, because it is a commitment.
Right.
As a parent, it's a commitment. As a child, it's a commitment for them, And my son has been dancing since he was four. And it's a lot of adjustments and stuff we do. But I see that he's passionate about it. And I've just learned to adjust to that passion and give it in as much as I can as a parent. And because he's thoroughly into it, and I think as a parent, it's my responsibility till he is adult enough to understand and figure out what he wants to do with that passion. It is for me to encourage him in it,
Thank you for that point of view, Prabha. And I think talking about commitment, we have two dancers with us. Before we speak to them, I want to mention that, if you like to watch dance, if you want to see these extremely talented kids dance, you must check out Youthsava 2012. It's one of the premier dance competitions in the Bay Area. This year's show is on March 31st and it begins at 9 o'clock. And you can get more information about that at indiacc.org. And in the studio, I have with me two dancers who regularly participate in Youthsava. Welcome, Kavita and Pallavi.
Hi.
And what I really like about the fact that you guys are here in the studio with me today is, before the break, we were talking about classical and Bollywood, and you girls do folk dance, which is a completely different dance form, right?
Yes.
So tell me why you picked folk rather than classical or Bollywood.
One thing I really like about folk dance is that there's so much variety. There are so many different states in India, and there's so many different styles of dance that they do there. With Bollywood, it's very much Western, and with classical, it's either Bharatanatyam usually. But with folk, you do so many different things like Ras and Garba, and there's
Is it a way to learn more about different parts of the country?
Definitely, because everyone in our class is from different parts of India, so it's great seeing all the different cultures come together.
Pallavi, is it tough not to understand the words? Because sometimes I'm sure you're dancing to songs where you don't know what the words mean.
Well, actually, what our teacher does is at the beginning of each song, she usually plays the whole song and we all sit down in like kind of a row. And then she explains to us exactly what it means, like what the story is telling. And that kind of helps us get an understanding of what exactly we're dancing.
Like, it's really tough otherwise to express the emotions without understanding what they are. So, But that's great. But that means you're getting exposed to a number of different languages as well.
Yeah.
Right? That's fantastic. Now, both of you are in high school.
Yes.
Right? And high school, I know from being a parent of a teenager myself, is a really stressful time when it comes to the workload. So how do you make time? As our previous dance teachers talked about it, it's a commitment. You need to practice every day. I'm sure you're competing, so there's a lot more practice involved as well.
It's definitely a very good way to learn time management, I think, because many of the people in our dance group do several extracurricular activities. So
really?
Yeah. So it's just a way to learn.
When do you study? This is what I want to know. When do you find the time to study? As a parent, I want to know this.
Well, like, kind of what I do is I get home at 3:30, right? So I'll have my little snack, and then I'll finish my homework, and I usually finish my homework relatively quickly. So, like, as soon as I finish my homework, then I'll set time to study each day. Mm-hmm. If you set, like, maybe, like, half an hour each day to study, like, a few subjects, then it doesn't get to the point where the day before a test you're, like, cramming, like, a few hours. Like, you already know the subject well enough so that you don't have to study so much.
So I have two questions here. Does this mean that you don't have any time, leisure time, other than the dance? And dance is a form of, you know, for you probably it's a very satisfying this thing. Do you have time to hang out with friends outside of dance, to watch video?
I think Pallavi might be a lot more organized than I am because I'm usually up at 1 a.m. doing homework. But no, it is definitely a time commitment, but we definitely get leisure time, so it's not too stressful.
And my second question is, Do you consciously take maybe not so tough courses in high school so you can make time for dance? Or are you taking a full AP, 5 AP courses, 3 honors courses,
Honestly, I'm just taking the classes that interest me. So, if I really like biology, next year I am taking AP biology. It's just something I enjoy. So I'm not really considering, oh, I can't take this class because I'm doing dance. It's kind of like you should make the time to do dance as well as keep all your subjects.
Well, I think you girls have mastered the art of expanding time. You're the masters of time. Now tell me something. Do you think that as you go forward, you've been Kavita, how long have you been dancing?
I've been dancing for almost 6 years now.
And Pallavi, much longer, right?
Yeah. I've been dancing since I was in third grade. So
That's a really long commitment. But do you see yourself as you go to college and maybe as adults pursuing this interest? Is it something you see yourself doing?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to college this year, and one of my biggest concerns is how am I going to keep doing dance once I go? Because I love the performing arts. I do theater at school, too, and dance after school. So I just really want to keep pursuing that, even though that's not what, obviously, I'm not going to be doing with my life. But it's become a huge part of me, so I don't want to let go of that.
Do you see yourself becoming teachers one day? Yeah, that's wonderful. And thank you, Kavita and Pallavi, for coming here and sharing your experiences. We also have in the studio with us Lakshmi Ravi, who is the coordinator for Yutsava, and we'd love to have her say a few words on the program itself. It's for lovers of dance, whether they are participating or they are watching. I think it would be a phenomenal experience to enjoy this day. And she's here to tell us a little more about it. I know. Welcome, Lakshmi.
Thank you, Vidya. Like these girls said, it's you get to see a lot of culture, a lot of costumes. You can get to see different kinds of dance forms like Bhangra, Dandiya Raas, and different folk styles from the south. So, it's
how do you, as a visitor, as a somebody who's come to watch the dance, how do I maximize my enjoyment? Given that the show starts at 9 o'clock, I think, right, and goes on till when?
It goes on till any time between 9 p.m. to 10 p.m.
So it's a full day event.
So it's a full day event. Mm-hmm. It's from ages 5. So we start off with the little ones. So people who have smaller kids, they come and they go back. And if they have siblings, then they come back again to enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
So the ticket is like basically a whole day event. You can go back and come.
You can pick and choose what interests you.
If you want to do only the senior category, you can come and watch the senior, which is really, really amazing. But of course,
that's prime time.
6 p.m. it starts. Usually 6 p.m. it starts.
But let me tell you, I've seen little kids do this and they are the cutest.
They're so cute. They're very, very cute. Especially the folk dances that they come with their baskets, with their costumes. It's just amazing to watch these little ones perform.
Is there an early bird incentive for people who want to buy tickets for Youth Sabha?
Yes. So tickets will start selling March 1st. We sell member tickets at the ICC front desk. And the non-member tickets will go online at www.indiacc.org.
Mm-hmm.
The early bird registration starts March 1st and will end March 29th.
Okay. And when is the show? Is the
31st.
Oh, so pretty much anything other than at the door
is an
early
yeah,
bird.
Yeah,
oh,
2 days before the performance and at the door. You will have to pay a $25 ticket.
And Kavita, I don't know if it was you or Pallavi, but I had asked you earlier how the Youth Sabha has changed for you as participants over the years. And I know Pallavi had something to share about that.
Oh, well, what I kind of said, how Youth Sabha changed, I said that, like, they kind of, originally when they had started, it was kind of, like, more... It was kind of...
Casual?
More casual. It still has remained that casual, which I really like.
It's a friendly, friendly atmosphere.
It's very friendly. So mm-hmm. It's kind of good. It's a good atmosphere for not only the competitors, but also for the people watching. It,
mm-hmm.
like, it makes you more happy to see the competitors when they're, like, happy, not only when they're performing, but in the audience when they're watching. And it's kind of, like, more... Less... backstabbing competition, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, it always, I think the joy that you feel in the room is certainly something that transmits to.
Yeah, it's a good platform to make friends because they meet the other dance groups, they talk about that, different dance forms. So it's a very good place to, you know, meet friends
and I've heard that
friends.
Every year Youth Sabha has just been getting better and better and better. And how many years has it been going on now?
I think it's been like 5 to 6 years now.
5 to 6 years. So you can imagine.
Yeah, we have actually reached, yesterday was the deadline for registrations and we've reached 95 registrations.
Wow.
People are still calling and saying, can we register? And no, it's closed.
So 95 teams in various categories, starting from the really young sub-junior to the senior level. And there's just a treat for dance lovers on March 31st. So do check it out at indiacc.org. We are pretty much coming to the end of this time. Thank you, Lakshmi Shaiju, Lakshmi Ravi, Ishika, Kavita and Pallavi. That's it for our show today. Tune in next Saturday, same time, same place for more Parent Talk. And as always, to get in touch, send an email to radio@indiacc.org. Radio@indiacc.org. Bye-bye.